scripture reading is from the book of Acts, chapter 1. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." Then they gathered around him and asked him, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witness in Jerusalem, and in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth."
Just a couple of quick thoughts. You'll note that it says, "You shall receive." You remember, I've mentioned this enough times, how do we play hide and seek with God? If we seek Him, He will find us, which is really comforting, because I'm a little slow in that type sometimes. If I seek God, God finds me, praise God. As we seek the Spirit, as we wait upon it, the Spirit comes. It's not an if proposition. If you are open to receive the Spirit of God, you will receive the power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Again, the Greek word is dunamis, the power of God. Another way of saying it is, when you receive the Spirit, you'll be dynamite. You'll be dynamic. That's the word that we get dunamis. That God comes upon us when the Spirit comes on you. Actually, says when it overflows you, as part of the meaning of Greek. And it's just a neat thing that God does. St. Francis, when he worked hundreds of years ago, they had the rule of this Franciscan, or rule of St. Francis. And it was to desire the Holy Spirit above all else, and the Spirit's holy activity within you. That means that we don't try to do it alone. We seek for God's activity and power to come upon us, to empower that which we're doing. And it's, again, it's not a command, by the way. A lot of the scripture, like it says, go, that's a command, that's imperative. It says, if we seek the Spirit, if we are open to receive it, you shall receive it, and you will be my witnesses. The action of God has begun, and it continues. And we'll continue with that after. Please be seated and hear the word of God. The word that I kind of look at as the awakening dream.
Our final scripture lesson is from the book of Acts, chapter 2. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and addressed the crowd. "Fellow Jews, and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These people are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even out of my servants, both men and women, I will pour my Spirit in those days, sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved.
Will you join me in prayer? Let us pray. God, we heard your holy word. Speak to us now in Jesus' name. When I was younger, I was going to confirmation class. Have you remember doing that? And back then, I was Lutheran, and we went for 2 years. And we had two pastors, and one pastor for 1 year, and another pastor for the next year. And I was in the year that had the serious pastor. I was sort of the serious pastor that did not think it was funny if you were late, and convicted you of that. We used to call them evil eye lectures. So I was afraid of this guy, and I was supposed to be going to confirmation class, and as usual, I left a little late. So I was running a couple blocks to where I'd catch the bus, and I knew the timing of the bus. As long as I ran, I would catch the bus, and I'd get there on time. And as I was doing this, there was a street. I got the blocks and broken wood. I ran past the street, and I heard two shots. And it didn't sound like a backfire. And I'm perennially curious. And I stopped for a second. I said, I wonder what that was. And then I remembered evil eye lectures. And I kept running for the bus. Now, what happened was I lived in a neighborhood that had a fair amount of mafia. And there was a mafia hit and a shotgun. Died to death with two shotgun blasts. And but for evil eye lectures, I would have probably gone back up the street and been a witness. To this day, I am thankful that I was afraid of evil eye lectures. Because if I had seen it, what would that have made me? What made me a witness? And they didn't like those kinds of witnesses in some circles. Now, in the passage we read earlier, you will receive the power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses. Will be my witnesses. When we receive the power and Spirit of God, God gives us evidences of it. We sense it in our life. When she was reading the passage from Acts, it's a quote of Joel, but describing what happens when the Spirit comes upon you, I will pour out my Spirit on all people, sons and daughters, will prophesy. Prophesy means to share what you saw. Have that to share what you saw. But it also means to share what God showed you, actually, to be more precise. It is a vision for God. And you share it. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. I want to suggest to you that this is an awakening dream. It's kind of like when you're trying to figure something out. I don't know if this has ever happened to you. I was trying to figure something out as I went to bed, and I just couldn't get it. And when I woke in the morning, I said, aha! A couple years ago, when I We have a sense of how God can use us. It's like a vision. Sometimes in sleep, the Lord awakens us with possibilities. When we were talking, we found out a couple artists, I thought, if we just let them take on Pentecost and draw and see what's doing it, they're applying that which is in their lives to the canvas. Now, if I have applied this, knowing how neat I am, I would have redecorated my suit as well. When we apply, when we open ourselves to the use of God, when we have the eyes of God, it comes with the heart of God. And we see how taking up an offering is an act unto God himself. How when we go to someone and we encourage them and pray for them, or even if we don't tell them we're praying for them, when we pray for them, we become part of the awakening, the empowering dream of God. The vision God gives us to see how we can be used and what God is doing. God's gift of sense. And there's so many of them, and they're subtle and they're simple. But in the power of the Spirit, it awakens the people of God. The Spirit had come in the Old Testament, came at the act of creation. It came to the leaders throughout the Old Testament, the great leaders throughout the Old Testament, the Spirit came upon them. And the leaders motivated the people. With Pentecost, the Spirit of God came upon them, and we all had the capacity to envision and dream how God could use us. Whether it be for justice, but whether it be for witnessing to point people to God, whether it be to provide a meal, or to a listening ear, it is the opportunity to see and to live out that what we see. That's the power of Pentecost. The power of Pentecost is when the Spirit overflows in you. And in doing that, the simple becomes profound. The simple acts of love, the simple acts of kindness, the simple acts of witness become profound because God is in them. It is happening.